I get to know more and more of you and have deeper relationships with you, and my love for you continues to grow. And the whole concept of that I love you all is true to a more of a surface level, but as we get to know each other, that grows deeper, and there's a lot more meaning to it. And so I'm thankful for you all and your friendships that we've been able to have over the years. I'm going to try to do a speed preach. I've never done this morning session before. I always get the evening, and I can go all evening. And so I'll try to get this all crammed in here in the next 60 minutes. No, I'm teasing. The next 45 minutes. But just like Brother Mickey there just started out, I also, in the subject of communication, I have a more practical series. Now, I do believe it covers a lot of different things. And so the same thoughts that he was having is what I was having about if you don't get it, then you don't get it. But I think I probably wouldn't have had to do this for what he preached there earlier. If you have that kind of love burning in your heart for the Lord Jesus that we just heard about, I think it's going to make the practical things a joy to each one of you and an excitement to each one of you. If you could turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to read a few verses there to begin. And we'll see where we can go here this morning. As more of just an introduction, I would say, to my series. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And there's some big words in the Bible. There's some huge words. And the first word in verse 10 is maybe one of the biggest words in the New Testament. And it is, "But." "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." See, the temptation can be for you young people, the temptation can be that you would kind of skim along, that you would kind of stay on top. Be more of a surface, have more of a surface relationship with your brothers, your family, with God. It's kind of an easy way to go. And the Bible is calling us to a deep walk with God, as we heard this morning. A deep relationship with God. That's what the Bible is calling us to. And I just want to emphasize that if we don't have a desire to go deep with God, this whole week is not going to have any effect on you. And that's a burden to me, because that is where the joy in Christ is. If we all commit that we're not going to do things just surface, we're not going to do things, first of all, just on the exterior, we're not going to do things, secondly, just to get by, just to make do, to get through the end of the week, or whatever it would be, the end of the weekend, the end of the day, the end of the message, but that we're actually going to get a hold of this thing. And I think of Moses as an example. You know, Moses did a lot of things that were pretty amazing. I mean, how many of us would like to have stood before that burning bush and speak with God there on holy ground? Moses went up to Mount Sinai and did some amazing things there once again with God. He had his rod turned into a serpent there, or witnessed that whole thing going on. But yet after that whole situation with the golden calf, you find Moses there at the tabernacle crying out to God. And his cry is, "Show me your glory. Show me your glory." It's a desperate from Moses. And we might look at that and think, I mean, Moses, how have you not seen his glory? Moses, you've been through so much, things that I would have loved to have been a part of, and now you're the one crying that you want to see God's glory. The response that God gave Moses, and I'll just read this verse. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." You know, that's a profound thing just to ponder and consider. That if our heart would be that of Moses, that we want to see your glory. We want to go deep with you. We want to take whatever we can. We want to have a love like Mary Magdalene. We want to be compassionate about you and all the things that you have for us. We want to see your glory. And then the response is, and it's an amazing thing, but he makes it a point to say, I know you by name. Now, we also know, and we'll talk about this later in the week, but there's a people that God says, I don't know who you are. Isn't there? In the early part of Matthew, I don't know your name. I don't even know who you are. But here in this case, God is saying, I know your name. You know, there's a lot of famous people in this world, isn't there? Yes. It's off here.
It's green.
Sorry about that. Give you some time to adjust there. There's a lot of opportunity for people to make a name for themselves, isn't there? But we have an opportunity to be known by God. It just, it was such a beautiful thought there of who Christ came to first. And I would like to be where we all have such an intimate walk with God, such a deep walk with God. We have no interest in surface level. We have no interest in skimming through. We have no interest in being false. We have an interest in knowing who God is. That God would know each one of us by name. If we stay there in chapter 2 and go to verse 13, it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I want to lay this foundation of a deeper life, a deeper walk with God, because I think we're going to need it in order to go into some practical things about communication. It has to be something that comes from within. I also thought of the example in Psalms about a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And you know, as we, in our home, as we disciple our children, and in our church there, as we try to work with young people, just youngsters that are coming up, that's what we envision. We want our children to be planted by rivers of water so that they can grow into these beautiful, magnificent followers of God, just like the trees do. But the thought came to me, when you're planted by the rivers of water, there could be something negative that comes out of that. And you know, in the backside of our farm, we have woods there and several creeks that go through there. And it's amazing, but when you walk along the creek there, a lot of the big, huge trees are toppled over. And the reason they're toppled over is because they were planted by rivers of rivers, and their roots didn't go very deep. Their roots didn't need to go very deep. But as I think of most of you probably that are in this room here, you were probably brought up, as we're looking at these second and third generations here, you were probably brought up in kind of a greenhouse environment. You were brought up with devotions and godly parents that would teach you the way. And I know that isn't the case with all of you here. And it's what we want. It's what we want. There's no other way. If a squirrel would have taken a nut and plant it somewhere, I'd want it to be right beside the water's edge. But my encouragement to you is that you would not let that be an excuse to not go deep with God. To not press in. To not study the word. Because you know, forms of life are going to come. They're going to come and they're going to sweep through and they're going to take whatever is not rooted and founded on that rock. They're going to take it and they're going to knock it over. And so my encouragement is that we would as deep as we can. And I think you have a week. I'm just, these meetings here every year, I think my first one was 5 or 6 years ago, and I made a commitment then that I was going to try to get as I could to bring my family up in this kind of environment where there's people that seek after God. To take things serious. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And the truth is, you all in here have a choice. You have a choice. It's just the reality. You can just hit the cruise control. And you know what? You might be able to go a long ways. You might be able to fool your family and your church family. But God knows how deep you're wanting to go with Him. God knows how connected you are. And we look out ahead 10 years, as we heard earlier, look out ahead in the years to come. Where will you end up? Where will you be? Will you be staying on the surface, floating on top? And I want you to know it'll never cut it. Would you say that you all want a surface level relationship with God? Is that what you would want? If you had to sign up for something, I want a surface level relationship with God. I want a surface level relationship with my parents. That's what I'm shooting for. I want a surface level relationship with my brotherhood. You know it's not the calling, but just wanting something deep isn't going to cut it. We've got to have that unction, that first to seek after God with all that we have. I sometimes feel like the whole subject of holiness is not strived for and lived and preached like it maybe used to be. And I just want to emphasize, you young people, don't let it slip. You hear stories of young people getting their flashlight and their Bible and heading out to the woods for the night. Is that you, young people? Or are you just kind of cruising through, waiting for the next chapter of life? Fasting and crying out to God. Is this week a week that you're just kind of excited about seeing your friends and not about going deep with God? On this subject of communication, the sacrifice of communication, I hope that I can portray it in a way that you grasp it. I hope I can. It's going to take the power of God to do so. But there are people in this room, there are people all over that were born in settings that probably didn't put a lot of emphasis on communication. And I think of my growing up in the public systems and going through college, it was a major emphasis. Now, it was a major emphasis. It's another little bit of a chat my subject. It was a major emphasis because of your personal value. You know, you need to be able to communicate to get anywhere. You need to be able to communicate to be successful. If somebody can't communicate, you're not going to make it in life. And so that was the drive and that was the push. But we obviously here have a different reason, do we not? We have a different reason why we want to be good communicators. We're living life together with people. We're trying to be influencers in this world. We're trying to make a difference to people around us. We have something far more greater than anybody could ever imagine, and we need to try to get them to understand it. And it's not just on evangelism here. But maybe some of you haven't had that emphasis. You haven't had that teaching on communication. And so as you get older, you find yourself struggling to be able to say what you want to say. You find yourself being in a struggle even with confronting sin and confessing sin. All these things that you probably would want to do, but you're not sure how to do it. You get yourself backed into a corner, and it's easy just to set it aside. You wouldn't understand anyways. And I just want to plead with each one of us here. The communication takes effort. It takes sacrifice. It takes willingness. But there is amazing rewards. A question for you. How well do you feel you do at communicating? Have you ever thought of that question? Another question, do you feel that communication is important? What about this question? With some practical effort, do you think you could get better at communicating? And do you think that would be a blessing in your life? Let's turn quickly to 1 Timothy chapter 6, where I'll get my title, verse 18. That they do good, one verse here, a few words, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And I'll try to break some of these things down as we go through this week in Hebrews 13, 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. And just as an onset here, this whole idea of communication, I want you to understand that communication is a huge word. It's a big word. And actually, some people say that besides the word culture, communication is the most complex word in the vocabulary, outside of the word culture. It's a very large word. And if you look through your Bible, and you look through your concordances, and you look at the word communication or communicator, words that resemble that, it's amazing at how much different they are. There's hardly two alike. But it's also amazing as you start to study that, most of them go back to one root word. Does anybody know what that root word would be? Anybody have an idea? Anybody from Hickory, North Carolina have an idea? The word is koinonia. In the passage there in Hebrews 13, it's that word koinonia. And they take that word koinonia and they break it up into different words that relate back to koinonia when you go through and you start studying on this whole idea of communication. But the definition of koinonia, which once again it tries to get a hold of this big word of communicate, it would be partnership. It would be communion. It would be fellowship. It would be companion. Distribution. Willing to give something is what that means. You're willing to give. And then it would also mean this word, connection. And that is kind of a word that I want to focus on, this word connection. And I would like us to look at this word communication and the word connection as synonyms to connect. To connect. You know, most of you probably know this, but I love to connect with people. I love it. I love to connect with people. I love to smile at people. I love to say hello to people. I love to meet new people. I love to talk with new people. We live in a world that is very much disconnected. More than it ever has been, by far. In the last 10 years even, it's multiplied so greatly. It's amazing. How well do you all do at connecting? Now, we know what that word connect means. That maybe rings a little bit more. We can kind of relate to that. But connection, a connecting. And you know, when you have an opportunity in life, which you do every day of your life, no matter what you're doing, you have all manner of opportunity to connect with people. And that's what I want to try to focus on this week is connecting with people. I want to talk about communication in relationships. I want to talk about communication in conflict. I want to talk about communication in your being. What are you saying? What's coming out of your life? And I want to talk about communication in your home. But I want us to remember, because this word is so big, I want us to remember this word connect. This word connect, I think it's vital to what we're trying to do here in the kingdom of God. The idea that I am a child of the living God, and my interests are in knowing Him more and also in knowing His creation more. That is what our goal is, to know God more and to know the people more and to be able to connect. And you know, it's a choice again. So many choices. That's why we're pleading with you. Everyone here that's going to be preaching this week is pleading with you to get that fire burning within. Get that fire burning, and then we have this word, it's called organic. Things flow out of you that are organic, that are natural. And they make sense. And you get excited about things. And people see it. People will see it. When you're full of the Spirit of the living God, when you're full of the love of God, and your goal in life is to connect with people, they're going to see it. It's going to be very expressive. It's going to be very caring. It's going to be very loving. You know, if you're sitting beside someone in an airplane, you have a choice, don't you? You have a choice. Now, do you think that the devil would rather you not connect with that person? You ever wonder why that's so hard? You ever wonder why there's such a war to connect with people? But here you have somebody, you have no idea what they're going through. No clue what they're going through. But God has set you beside them, and now the war begins. It's amazing. And if that alone isn't proof that we're talking about something that's pretty important, I don't know what is. It reminds me of the story of Brother David Allspaw. I believe it was him that had a layover at an airport, and he always had made a commitment that if he place like an Arab, has to wait a long time. He's going to make it a goal to connect with somebody. And so he sits there and looks at this lobby full of people that are waiting, and he just sits there and he looks around. Who can I connect with? And I would love that by the end of this week, this would be you all's heart. This would be your heart. I want to connect with people. I want to have a heart too. And we're going to get into some of the things that are going to hinder that in your own mind, what the devil's going to use to try to hinder that. But as David looks around there in a faraway place, he sees a young man with his head down in his hands, and he has a hooded sweatshirt on, and his hood's pulled clear up, but he's trying to sleep. So David sits down beside that young man with one goal. I'm a Christian, and I want to make a connection here. I don't know where it's going to go. It may not go well, but Lord, I'm going to try to make a connection here. And would you not believe, it was a young man from an Anabaptist church that was running from home. Can you imagine it? Let us be habitual in this. When is the last time, this gets a little deeper, when is the last time you have felt that you have really, truly connected with someone? And I'm not talking about the young boy at the airport. I'm not talking about the lady beside you in the airplane. I'm not talking about the grocery store per se. Maybe it is that. I'm talking about anybody. Your siblings. People at church. When is the last time you felt you really connected? And for those of you that have done it, those of you that have connected with people, what is that like when you leave that? Is that inspiring? When you connect with somebody, it's amazingly inspiring. It is because it's God's heart that we would be people that are connecting with one another. I love to look for ways to connect with people. Brother Andy shares that I think he might use the word crazy, but weird things happen to me all the time, it seems, as I'm driving, as I'm places. And I think it's because God is wanting all of us to be out of a mindset to be looking for it. Looking for opportunities. And so when the accident happens, you're ready for it. You're excited about it. The Christian people should be a group that seem to always be around. These people are always around. It seems like whatever happens, they show up there. And their endeavor is to make a connection. I do want to talk just extremely briefly on basic communication. Basic. And this is anything that is extremely practical that you'd also hear at school. It's spiritual because of our message. Let's remember that. Okay? So we can take something that maybe a university would teach for your own success in business. That's not our goal. Our goal is because we have a message. But very basic, but it's also essential in communication. It's essential in connecting with people. And it's things like eye contact, hand gestures, a fluent speech. These are things that we need to work on. These are things that we need to work on. Imagine, just picture it. You know, if today my hands are in my pocket, this whole 45 minutes, this that alone would be a little odd. It would be a little odd, and not only would it be a little odd, but I believe that you would lose out on some things. I was just watching Brother Mickey here. You know, it's so much nicer when we can use our hands to communicate. We can use our hands to draw people out, to make something more important or draw attention to something. What about my head down? Now, this is a little touchy because some of you are going to have to preach here in a few hours, and you're going to be thinking of this, and I don't want that. I don't want that for this time, okay? I want it, but I don't want it to distract you. But you'll hear it after you're done if you don't take heed to it now. But we've probably all seen it. People come up and share, and they keep their head down the entire time. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And I'm not trying to poke at that or pick on that. I'm just trying to express the fact that we need to work on not doing these things. We need to work on eye contact or keeping our head up, engaging in people. You know, can you imagine if you were to stumble on something that was just profound? Maybe you were to stumble upon a house that was burning. A house that was on fire, and you knew there were people in it. Can you imagine your expression? I mean, can you imagine it? Is everybody okay in there? I mean, we know we wouldn't be that way. And it's because we have a deep desire to see something happen. And so we've been there before. Me and my son have been there before, and there's all kinds of shouting and hands, and is everybody okay? And you get pretty excited. Now, I know we can take that too far. We're talking about our message, but I'm trying to get a point across that we need to be able to engage and connect with people, and we need to be able to use our bodies to do it. I believe that eye contact suggests confidence. I believe it does. It suggests confidence. And I can remember one time years ago, so don't try to figure it out, but years ago there was somebody that was sharing a small devotional, and the entire time their head was down, never looked up once, until they realized their mic wasn't working. And then it was all of a sudden, things started really flowing. Hey, and they started tapping, and is my mic on? Is it okay? And so with that, he had some confidence. He knew he had an objective to see if his mic was on, but when it came to the message that he had, he lost his confidence. And now he's in waters that he wasn't sure about, and so his head drops, and his hands go down, and he starts to fumble through. And so our suggestion is that you get the fire going inside so that you have confidence to share. You have a burden in your heart. You have something you want to share. There was a man once, actually a boy, that was in grade school, 6th, 7th grade. And his counselor, guidance counselors in the schools, his counselor had spent a little bit of time with him and told this young man that he was a below average person. And he probably never would amount to a whole lot, but that he needed to try to keep on going. And I'm not trying to say that this counselor was a bad person or anything. It was probably just some misguidance there. But this young man left that meeting knowing that he was below average, that he was subpar, that he probably wouldn't succeed. And that's just exactly what happened to this young man. This young man barely made it. He was a C student, barely made it through school, did not get excited about school, was not a very good student. And right when he graduated, as others went to college, he never thought once of it. He went right to the local factory, applied for a job, and got an entry-level job at a factory where he worked and was very content. It was, I think, 20 years later that the factory closed. What did he do? He walked across town to another factory. And at that factory, they had something different there. When they hired people in, they gave everybody an IQ test. Now, everybody knows where this is going. They gave everybody an IQ test at this factory. And a middle-aged man, after he got a test, they came to him, they said, "You have scored the highest that anybody has ever scored in our 64 years. And immediately he climbed the top, ended up leaving the factory, started a business, had multiple inventions, and became an extremely wealthy man. But what changed? His confidence changed. He stopped believing in that whole idea that he's never going to be, never going to do, never will be. Would love to it. Oh, it'd be great, but I never can. I admire those that do. I would like to learn from those people, but yet I know that I will never be able to get there. And I would just say that is fleshly reasoning. We're talking about connecting with people and not with our abilities. And we're going to realize that as we go along here. Not with our abilities. In fact, I'll just say it now. That if you think I'm saying that each one of you here can become some dynamic preacher or some gifted orator, that is not at all what I'm saying. We're talking about connecting. And I believe you'll understand as we go along this week. But don't buy into that. God is not a respecter of person. God wants to fill you with His Spirit, and He wants you to be used by Him. That's what His goal is. That's. Can you imagine me and my little 4-year-old son coming up to you, and you go to shake his hand, and he doesn't want to shake your hand. And I say, his personality is a little different. You know, would that be acceptable? He's not really the kind that would do that. We know it's not. We know it's not acceptable. And the reason it's not acceptable is because we train our children to do that. We train them to be able to look at somebody in the eye and shake their hands and say greetings or hello or whatever it would be. We want them to be able to connect with people. In just the same way as each one of us are going to be or need to be trained in these areas. We need to be able to practice it. We need to be able to step out of the comfort zone. Step out of the box that we've been in. And you know, at first it's actually cold and it's a little scary. But after a while you start to receive the blessing of it. And you start to realize that communication isn't just for a few people. But the communication is for every brother, every sister, every child. God's heart would be that we would communicate. Practice. If you use a lot of filler words like and have you ever heard yourself? Do you think you could work on that? Or is that just who you are? Not going to change. Does that mean you're never going to say or the brother's here or myself? No, it doesn't mean that. But wouldn't it be good if we could put together something to share with somebody without throwing all that in there and distracting the message? Wouldn't it be good? Is that too practical? What if you were to work on giving a pause instead of saying What if you were to, instead of doing that, just what if you were to give a pause? Just little things like that. Can we, is that too fleshly? Is that too practical? Just work on things like that. And so when we're in our homes, when we're talking with our parents, talking with our siblings, whatever it would be, we know that God has put something within us that we're to speak to the whole world. Lord, what did Moses say? He didn't do it. Now, if you look at Moses' life, what seems to have happened there? It seemed like he did pretty well. Maybe he learned a lot from Aaron. Let's remember that 90% of communication is not words. I would also ask that you would not get discouraged with this subject. But that you would just rise up to it. I believe, as you'll find out, your relationships are going to blossom. I believe there's going to be an opportunity for you to see into other people's lives like maybe you never thought you could. Can you imagine that? So communication is about me sharing something with you. That's only a small part of it. Communication is a lot of times about me receiving something from you. Me being able to heal you. Me being able to unlock your heart. So these basic things that we talked about, I didn't get into many of them. These things that show a lack of confidence. Let's just remember them. Let's remember to engage. Let's remember to connect. And then I want to just also cover this idea of personality. Now, if I were to ask this question, don't raise your hand, but do you believe that you can have your personality changed? That's an interesting question. And there's people out there that would not believe so. I understand that. But they have out there what you would call your five personality traits. And what these are about is so that people can learn more about each other. And so there's testing. And if you get into occupational things, there are lots of testing out there to find out what kind of personality traits that you have. What is your personality trait so that we know how to work with you, so you can better work with and what department to put you in. And so we give you this test. There's five traits, and obviously there would be 10 because there's one or the other in each one. Who would know what the five personality traits would be? Does anybody have an idea? I'm just curious. You You may not know, and you maybe never heard of them. But I would say this, for the people that say, I'm just an introvert, that's a reality. Right? It's a reality. Or I'm an extrovert. Though that is, extroversion is one of the five. Now the reason I share this is just to help you not just cross this second session off. That would be the idea. That's this first goal here today. But I want to go through some of these because I believe that God wants you to be like His Son. That's what God is wanting to do. He's wanting to do a work in each one of your lives to conform you to the image of His Son. That's the whole goal. And when people put labels on you, people say that you can't do this, you can't do this, oh, you're just this, it limits us. It limits us. And the whole concept of the personality traits, you probably don't know of many of them, but you probably have heard of this whole idea of being introverted or shy, which those two are not together. Shy would be somebody that would like to be more involved, but yet is fearful of it. And so that's why a shy person will usually come out of that after a while. Once they get warmed up, a shy person. But an introverted person, he is just super happy being over here in the corner reading a book. And if he's at an airport, the last thing he's going to do is go look up some young boy with a hooded sweatshirt on. And so then what we try to do sometimes is we try to use that personality trait and try to say that I'm just not gifted like that. There are other brothers that would gladly go sit. And I know Benji would just love to go sit by that fellow and talk to him, but I'm not Benji. And so I'm going to go over here and sit and read my Bible or read my book or whatever it is. And my encouragement is that that is not what God wants. And it's not God just going to leave you there. God is wanting to work with you. He's wanting to help you. And I would just share this, and we'll get to it later again, I'm sorry. But the idea of going first and communicating is the hardest part. It's the hardest part. It's like jumping into an ice-cold pond. You know, it's the hardest part. But there's such a blessing that follows that you're going to be looking for the next. And in our brotherhoods, it's going to be deep. When we have that kind of connection going on. But I would just say that if, I want to go through these very quickly here in closing. But I would just say that if you can relate to one of these sides, this is kind of like, I want to talk about that introversion, extroversion, but while I'm here, I'll throw in the other ones. Just because I think it would be good for us to see which one of these do you think God would want me to be? And it's not going to be just clear cut. This is not something that God wrote up. It's not going to be clear cut. We're going to need some. I'm not saying that introverted people are going to be extroverted. I'm not saying that. I'm saying don't use these things as a handicap to keep you from doing what God wants. The first one is openness. Openness. The one side is that you are inventive and curious. The other side is that you're consistent and cautious. Now that's interesting, isn't it? I'll go through some sample items. If you're inventive and curious, you would probably focus more on a rich vocabulary. You have a vivid imagination. You have excellent ideas. You're quick to understand things and to use difficult words. And you spend reflecting on things. You're full of ideas. The other side of that, which we know how it is in the giftings of the brotherhood, the consistent, we love that. The cautious, we need that in our brotherhoods. But that would show as this. I have difficulty understanding abstract ideas. I am not interested in abstract ideas. And you do not have a good imagination. And so you tend to be a little bit more, negative word here. I don't want to try to make the whole thing negative, but you tend to be more stuck. And I believe that if you're at a place where you're not going to do something, I'm sorry, I'm not there. What you're doing is you're limiting God. God's wanting to do work in your life and you're limiting God. Conscientiousness is the second trait. The one side is efficient and organized. The other side is extravagant and careless. I am always prepared. I pay attention to details. I get chores done right away. I follow a schedule. I am exacting in my work. The second, I do not like order. I leave my belongings around. I make a mess of things. I often forget to put things back in their proper place. I shirk my duties. Where do you think I would fit on that one? I'll just tell you, I'm those bottom ones, but I'm not happy there. I don't want to stay there. I don't want it to be where, sorry, my room's a mess. It's my personality. To me, that is terrible. It's a terrible way to try to justify misuse of what God is trying to do in your life. Are you ever going to be somebody that is a complete organizer and you have everything, every jot and tittle lined up? Probably not, but you can strive for more of that. You can strive for more of that. Extroversion, outgoing and energetic versus solitary and reserved. Now, this is an interesting one. Because you can see how God can take these and put them in a church and just be a beautiful thing. I feel comfortable around people. I start conversations. I like to talk to a lot of different people at get-togethers. I do not mind being the center of attention. Versus, I do not talk a lot. I keep in the background. I have little to say. I do not like attention to myself. I am quiet around strangers. And this is the one that I wanted to focus on. The whole idea of you changing and all of a sudden, I don't want to use anybody's name. I'm thinking of a few people now, but I won't say it. But all of a sudden, they walk in one day and they're just completely different. That's not what I'm saying. Do you get that? I don't want you all to leave here and say, you know, Benji wants me to be whatever. What I'm trying to get this point across is I want you to be who God wants you to be. And I don't want you to hide behind I'm just. I would say take that whole word of I'm just and chuck it. Because all it is it's apathetic. It's sympathy. It's I'm sorry. And I'd love to. I'm just not that person. And I believe when we're talking about trying to learn how to communicate, learn how to step outside of the box, and I'm not talking about up here at the pulpit. I'm not. I'm talking about in relationships, in your home, at your bank, in the grocery store, in a brother's home. And then this last one here, neuroticism. I'm sorry, agreeableness is friendly, compassionate versus critical and judgmental. Agreeableness is the fourth one. And this one could be a message. Friendly and compassionate, critical, judgmental. Everybody here knows of people that fit in those camps. There's people here in this class, in this Bible school that fit in those camps. And I would just plead with you, not stay in a negative state. You would not stay in a very opinionated state, a very dogmatic state. I would just plead for you. Now, I'm sorry, Jesus is the Son of God, and that's all there is to it. We're not talking about that. We're talking about somebody that is critical and judgmental. It's going to be very hard for you to connect with people. It'll be a killer for it. You've already got an idea in your mind before you start. You've already got an idea in your mind where you're going to end up before you start. And it's a major shutdown when it comes to communication. And people that are more critical are going to have to war against it. I would love to say that we need to have a prayer meeting on Friday night, and all the people that are critical and judgmental, we're going to come up and we're going to surrender the thing to the Lord, we're going to repent, and you're going to leave and never think of it again. And I do believe God could do it, but a lot of times He wants us to work it out. He wants us to try to conquer it. And when you think of somebody that's trying to connect with people, the opposite comes to mind. The opposite, which is friendly and compassionate. I'm interested in people. I sympathize with others' feelings. I have a soft heart. Do we have soft hearts here today? I take time out for others. I feel others' emotions. I make people feel at ease. And I'll just say those points right there,
It's the heart of this series. Versus, I am not really interested in others. Now, don't say, I'm done. Don't. This is something we're trying to learn and grow in. I know there's some cases like that. I'm not interested in other people. I insult people. I'm not interested in other people's problems. I feel little concern for others. And then lastly, neuroticism, but that agreeableness is the key there. That is sensitive and nervous versus resilient and confident. And you can see how all of this plays into communication. All of this plays a big part of it. Who created your mind? Sensitive and nervous means I get stressed out easily. I worry about things. I am easily disturbed. I get upset easily. I change my mood a lot. I have frequent mood swings. I get irritated easily. I often feel blue. Versus resilient and confident. You don't get discouraged just a whole lot. You look at the good in others. You have a positive attitude. And you find yourself more at peace. Let's work together this week. There's a lot of things coming at you all. And I'm excited about what God is going to do. God bless you.